This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Political scientist Stephen George dubbed Britain as the European Union's awkward partner in 1990. On June 23rd, Britain will decide if it should remain in the EU or if it should Brexit and go solo, a question that has plagued the UK-EU relationship for 43 years. Backed by leaders like Boris Johnson, the Vote Leave argument essentially centres on reclaiming British control from the EU over issues like finances and immigration. But is the argument valid and will Brexit solve these problems? This referendum is not the first of its kind. Just 2 years after Britain joined the European Economic Community, it held a referendum on whether it should leave, with 67% of the vote in favour of remaining. Dr. Fraser Cameron is the director of the EU Asia Centre and a former European Commission advisor. He suggests Britain has always been a reluctant partner of the EU.
Britain has never been a wholehearted member of the EU ever since it joined back in 1973, and people had hoped that when they won the referendum clearly in 1975, this would end the debate. There's been a kind of poison in the British political bloodstream that has infected British politics for the past 30 years. There are fears that the European Union is heading towards a kind of federal United States of Europe.
Cameron explains the addition of 10 Eastern European countries to the EU in 2004 dramatically increased the number of migrant workers entering Britain.
This has put quite substantial strains on public services in some parts of the country, and the government has done little to alleviate this. This has produced this effect about uncontrolled immigration and the need to take back control, which is the main slogan for the Brexiteers.
Brexiteers argue that the EU controls who enters the UK, on what terms, and who can be removed. There are also concerns that voting Remain would only cause Britons to lose more sovereignty over immigration. Tan Sri Mune Majid, chairman of ASEAN Business Advisory Council Malaysia, explains that Britain struggles with border control as it has to adhere to EU immigration laws.
Yeah, of course, I think the Schengen Treaty is a little too liberal in terms of the free movement of immigrants. If you notice, when you go to Europe, you want to come back into the UK, you need to use your passport. But once you're in Europe, of course, you can move seamlessly all through the European Union member countries. Although the UK is not a member of the Schengen, they are required to allow the free movement of EU citizens in the UK. David Cameron tried to negotiate on this point. What he has achieved is that they would not enjoy welfare benefits for a certain period of time, that they must get a job within a certain period of time. So there are already elements of wanting to control this free movement. Perhaps this could be tightened further and defined more clearly. So there should be some standards for movement based on quality, based on some kind of control.
Brexiteers also claim the British budget is burdened by a weekly $350 million that it sends to Brussels. However, Tan Sri Mune thinks the economic benefits of being in the EU should also be considered in calculation.
The other area that seems to upset them is the contribution of $9 billion net that is made that goes into the European docket. And they use these emotional numbers, but without looking at the pluses that being in the EU gives in value terms to the UK economy. There's a lot of controversy about exactly what the value is. It can put a value on the growth of the economy, the sustenance of employment in the economy as a result of being a member of the EU. What's the value of that? If those things are worked out more rationally, in a level-headed manner, then you can come to a conclusion where is $9 billion too much or too little? And then you can say to negotiate what contributions you can make. Margaret Thatcher actually did renegotiate some of the contributions that the UK would make to the EU. And these take place within the EU after you do a cost-benefit analysis in a more rational manner.
While remaining in the EU has cost Britain some of its sovereignty and finances, Tan Sri Mune explains the benefits outweigh the costs.
You have to think in terms of the market that the EU offers, the skilled labour exchange that can take place, the investments that come in because of your larger market of 500 million people to which you will have access. And will this still be available to UK businesses? You're talking about free flow also, not just of trade, you're talking about talent. Free flow of skilled and able personnel, people who come and work in the city, people who can bring scientific discoveries to Cambridge. Actually, the British construction industry would be in deep trouble if there were not these Polish workers working on building sites. What about the restaurants? Poor man's, and you look at the hotels. This argument is lost against the flow of alleged Poles and Romanians who come and take over our jobs. So there'll be a slowdown in these industries and sectors. And then if there was a fall in house prices, people can't get home ownership already as it is. People will find loans will be difficult to come by because the economy might be slowing down.
Meanwhile, Cameron suggests there is a more emotional argument driving the Brexit debate underneath the economic and political ones.
This is very little to do about Europe and almost everything to do about the internal splits in the Conservative Party. Just as 1975 was about splits in the Labour Party, this was an attempt by David Cameron to cover up the splits in the Tory Party, and of course it inevitably failed miserably because referendums are very divisive elements. So it will be very difficult, perhaps even impossible, to put the Conservative Party together after the referendum.
Furthermore, Tan Sri Muni proposes the Brexit rhetoric is akin to growing nationalistic sentiments across Europe.
In one sense, while they are turning their back or want to turn their back on Europe, in another sense, they are a reflection of what's happening across Europe in respect of the fact that far-right parties are rising all over Europe. The Brexit is a manifestation of a far-right tendency against immigration, against refugees, blaming others. We can stand on our own 2 feet better. Little Englander, we will win through anything. Driven by English right-wing chaps, primarily in the Conservative Party.
With polls showing 44% of voters would be delighted to leave the EU, many, like the British Prime Minister, warn that Brexit could do grave and lasting harm to Britain's politics and economy. Cameron believes a Brexit could launch Britain into unknown waters.
They can expect a decrease in their standard of living, uncertainties about whether they can travel without a visa to other parts of Europe or buy a property there. There'll be all kinds of uncertainties relating to investments and what the trading arrangements are. And this is, of course, what the financial markets, what business, what investment hate is uncertainty. And Britain's going to be faced with a period of years of uncertainty. So it's going to be very, very damaging.
Cameron also explains Brexit's implications on Asian countries.
If the fifth largest economy suddenly detaches itself from the European Union, which is the largest trade bloc in the world, then it's obviously going to have economic and financial repercussions, not just for Britain and the EU, but also for trading partners like China, India, Japan, etc. The EU does consider Southeast Asia as a potential strategic partner. At present, the EU is negotiating bilateral deals with Singapore, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, etc. We can expect an EU that is more concentrated on internal issues because they will have to deal with the consequences of Brexit over the next couple of years. An EU that is less open on the world stage. And I think an EU that has less time to deal with Southeast Asia and other Asian partners. So they will also lose out if there is a Brexit.
Tan Sri Muni asserts Britain should choose to stay in the EU and fight for its policies from the inside, rather than leave EU and face the future on its own.
You can bring out any number of things on both sides of the argument, which is pro or con. The main thing about Brexit, if it was rationally discussed, should be, are we sure what we want to do? What are the costs? Can we try and change the EU from the inside? How much time would we give to make that change happen? In any case, you have a long-term option. You can get out any time. Why do you want to get out now when you're not sure about the cost? The Brexiteers have absolutely no idea how they want to be related to the EU after they get out. They say, of course, we will still have a relationship, but what in terms of trade, in terms of investment, in terms of movement of people? And that's why I think all they are talking about is sovereignty. Our parliament has become secondary. Indeed, you know, it is ironic, most ironic. There's recently been this talk that even the referendum resulted in the people wanting to get out, still has got to go through the British parliament to be passed as an act of parliament. And some mischievous suggestion, I don't think this will ever happen, that parliament may not do what the people decide in a referendum. It shows that parliament is too powerful.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.